I'm going to read the last verse of 13. So it's actually 1 Corinthians 13, 13. So faith, hope, and love abide. Amplified. Faith, conviction, and belief, respecting man's relation to God and divine things, hope, joyfully and confident expectations of eternal salvation, love, true affection for God and man, growing out of God's love for and in us. Did you hear that? God's love for and in us. These three. But the greatest of these is love. So you need hope. And you need to be able to understand that faith is also the substance that puts all these things coordinated together. Without faith, what do you have? You can't please God. It's impossible. So again, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Verse 1 of 14. Eagerly pursue and seek to acquire this love. Why would he stress that we should seek to acquire it?
Because it's the greatest thing.
It's not in there on the natural realm. Because you see, I can love as a father loves for selfish motivation. A mother loves her child with a selfish motivation. As long as the child is walking and acting and reacting godly, they're going to live and love and continue to love. But as soon as the child goes into rebellion, the mother or the father gets what?
Out of love.
Out of love. What happened to their love? Okay? It's conditional. As long as they behave, oh man, they love you.
Amen.
But as they misbehave, that love gets tweaked. Why?
It's not God's love.
It's not God's love. God's love is unconditional. And he looks at his son and he sees you and me without all the conditions of behavior. Isn't that incredible that he loves us with an eternal love that doesn't give up? Yesterday, I put on a cassette tape that I got back in Sherbrooke, I'm guessing 20 years ago. And this lady's name is Rachel, who is singing several songs that the Lord gave her. And I would say those songs were given to her in the 1980s, 85, 87, 90, I don't know. And one of the songs came back in vision form this morning when I was praying with someone. And in the song, she's singing about God and his son, Jesus Christ, and how when he presented his hands to be crucified, that he was thinking about us. His mind was on you and on me. When he allowed his feet, because he could have stopped it, correct? Mm-hmm. He could have stopped it at any point. But he was thinking about the salvation of the multitudes of us. The multitudes of you and me. And that love pressure kept him going in obedience to submit to these Romans who were literally pounding into his feet. And his mind was on you and on me. Why? Do we have that kind of love? No. I don't claim to have it. I've got seeds of it. Little seeds by comparison to his. And yet sometimes I wonder, why does he think differently than me? Well, obviously because the seeds of love in him have grown to full stature. We talked about maturity last night.
We talked about man and woman coming into a mature understanding of God's grace and God's plan for our lives. Are we willing to let it be performed in us? Are we willing to let him perform the next level in us? Whoa, I don't know sometimes. I get tired. Whoops. All right, I'm going to put you on the spot. How many of you get tired sometimes? Thank you. I feel a lot better now. Eagerly pursue and seek to acquire this love. Make it your aim, your great quest, and earnestly desire and cultivate the spiritual endowment, especially that you may prophesy. Whew, we didn't touch that one yet. Why would prophecy be important? That is, interpret the divine will and purpose in inspired preaching and teaching. Wow. You say that's for the pastor. I say it's for you. And God's word says it's for you. Every member of the body of Christ is to give what he has. You say, well, I don't have any place to preach to. Oh, really? How many of you went shopping this week? Buy groceries. Here's an opportunity. How many of you put the cart back where it belongs when you were done? Uh-huh. How many of you wanted to just shove it over to the side? And maybe carry the ball to bring it back to where it needed to be. In obedience to what? Love. Is that prophetic? It's prophetic to your inner man. Because Jesus gave us an example to do as it would be done to us. I drove into the parking lot yesterday and I saw a couple of carriages on the corner of the lawn, and I thought, oh, Lord, have mercy. When I owned a business and they didn't put things back, boy, what I didn't have going through my brain until the Holy Ghost got a hold of me. You say, well, what are you getting at? Well, when you're in business and somebody takes advantage of you, it's not very pleasant. Amen. Amen? Learning how to love the way that God loves was presented to me. I think this was my third or fourth year of walking in the Spirit. And I had a gentleman that came over. He was connected to the gentleman who worked for me for a number of years through his son. And he lived in an old home. Probably 120, 30 years old. And he wanted new carpeting put in a hallway, staircase, and an upstairs hall. So I went over to measure and ordered the carpet that they wanted. And the staircase was like this. I would say maybe 18 to 20 degree angle. So obviously, in order to keep the pattern of the carpet straight, you had to slice it at every step. Otherwise, you'd get crooked looking steps and crooked carpeting. Well, my installers were instructed to do the carpeting the way that I felt needed to be done so that it wouldn't be looking cockeyed when you stand in the front door.
Amen.
That's reasoning. Okay? So, the gentleman did the work. They put it in. They installed all the carpeting. And the owner of the house comes over to pay his bill, but he's not willing to pay his bill because I didn't tell him that we were going to cut every step. So, he's very angry with me. And I said, it's not a problem as long as you know that if we install this, the way that it flows with your steps, it's going to look cockeyed when you come in through the front door. Well, nobody goes through the front door.
Okay. We'll have an order in within a few days, and as soon as the carpeting comes in, we'll replace it and we'll throw away the pieces. Okay. How many know you can please some of the people some of the time, but others you can't?
Never.
Because they have a problem. So anyway, we installed the new carpeting within a week and a half or whatever the number was. And he is, by the way, a good Christian in his eyes. So is his friend, best buddy. And the best buddy's father is the one that works for me. That's how come he connects with me. So, he comes in on the following Saturday. And he says, I'm not happy. I said, what? Well, when you come into the hallway and you look at those steps, everything is crooked. I says, yes, you have a problem. Your staircase is so many degrees off, and unless you redo your staircase, there's nothing we can do. Well, I'm not happy. I said, well, then we'll send the bill in the mail and you can do whatever you please. So he's walking out, and the Holy Spirit said, I want you to give it to him. I said, okay. Now, this is a good amount of money, because it wasn't cheap carpet. I said, do you have the bill in your hand? He says, yes. Now, I can't verify positively if I marked it paid in full at that moment or sent a copy. Because I think I sent a copy in the mail. Because he gave it back to me. So, to make a long story short, I prayed with my wife and I said, Irene, there is no way we'll ever please this man. There is no way. I said, and I really believe we need to agree to give this man this carpeting and the labor, the whole nine yards, because I am not going backwards with this thing. She says, I totally agree. I says, okay. So, I do believe I sent out a copy. I marked it paid in full in Jesus' name. All right. On the back of my office wall was a sign, Jesus is Lord. So he bounced in on the following weekend. I believe it was a Saturday again. And he is as red as your slacks.
Oh, that's red.
Yeah. He's fuming. I said, what's the problem? My wife wasn't in the room. He said, I'm angry at you. I said, why? Because of that name. Well, I said, I thought you were a Christian. A Christian is a believer in Jesus Christ. Do you have a problem with that? I'm angry at you. You can be angry all you want. But I says, I'm only going to tell you this once. You're in a public place, and that door is open for the moment, but it swings both ways.
Come on.
If you are not appreciating what we've done for you, and we will never be able to satisfy you, I have agreed with my wife, you owe us absolutely nothing. Because of Christ Jesus, we will be more than covered financially. Have a great day. And believe me, I was angry. The anger was at this man's refusal to bow his knee to the truth. He looked at me, he walked out that door, and that door, man, it went 4 or 5 times in anger. Was I learning how to love? Was I pursuing and seeking and acquiring this love? Was I making it my aim and my great quest? Was I earnestly and desiring and cultivating the spiritual endowment, especially the prophecy? The prophecy was, in hopes that the seed of life, that Christ Jesus would come to life in him. A few days later, I heard a report coming from my employee.
Oh, he says, what did you do to my son's friend? Oh. He'll never step in this place again. I said, well, to God be the glory. I said, I pray that he wakes up because he's following in the footsteps of one that rejected yours and my Lord. And my employee said, what are you getting at? I said, you were part of the deal to repair this carpeting twice. He said, yeah. I said, did we do a job that was right on both occasions according to instructions? He goes, absolutely. I said, that man owes us nothing because of what Jesus has done on the cross for me. Because there's no way that we could satisfy him, but don't call him a Christian. I says, his tail feathers don't match. He didn't understand. So I explained a little bit more. He said, Kim, I don't understand. I says, then maybe you need to check and see your value before God and who you're serving. You see, my employee watched me have several miracles on multiples of occasions. And he always acquiesced to luck. Luck is not what you and I work with. Luck is an accident that happens to those that don't know the grace of God. They don't pursue his love. They don't pursue his ways. And I'm not putting any self-satisfaction on this comment. I am trying to tell you that pursuing it is going to cost you. Amen. Pursuing not only the levels of loving, but the next level is to prophesy. The prophetic was to both of these, you better think about who you're serving. That was a prophetic word. After we sold the business, the gentleman who worked for me for all those years, he was my dad's age, but he lived a little more than my dad in years. What I learned through his son was, Kim, how could you work with my dad? I don't understand how he was able to work for you. We couldn't stand him. And he had four boys and a girl. Not one of my brothers could stand working for my dad. Now, he was a farmer. And before he was a farmer, he was a flooring instructor. He had graduated from the Armstrong Schools of Carpeting and Flooring. So did I. But you see, the difference between me and his sons was I was the official. In his farm, he was the official, and he was hard on his people. I would always give him grace as best I could. And when I got to know the Lord, in that walk with giving him love and giving him compassion, he began to see the fruits of that love. He began to see the miracles in my dad's life and in my mother's life. He began to see the miracles in my life and in my wife's life. And you know what? He had an incredible hard time with it. Do you know why? His brother was a Monsignor in Canada. And he had been wounded by religion. And I made him aware of that. So you need to forgive what happened to you. Because he paid a price. He was hurt. In the name of love. I want you to close your eyes for a moment. Say, Holy Spirit, keep teaching me how to love. Not religious love. Not selfish motivated love. But the kind of love that gives and imparts grace with an everlasting multiples of grace.
With everlasting multiples of grace.
Without end.
Without end.
Eternal type grace. The grace and the love,
grace and the love
that Jesus gave me an example of.
That Jesus gave me an example of.
That's what I'm learning.
That's what I'm learning.
In this feast.
In this feast.
Is to give out.
Is to give out.
What Jesus gave to me.
What Jesus gave to me.
In Jesus' name I pray.
In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.